My northern husband and I were married here in Atlanta. And many of his family members in Rhode Island were unable to come down for the wedding. I first met Billy's extended family about a month later, after our southern wedding, at a belated wedding reception at my in-law's house. It was an unusually hot late August afternoon, and I wore a fluffy dress, and I think I remember a scratchy crinoline under it. As the new bride, I stood under the tent in the very still air, sweating, glowing, and shaking hands with Billy's big, beautiful family. I recall the exact moment that I met his uncle, Manuel Ferreira, Uncle Manny. His first words to me were, "Jody, it's so good to meet you. Tell me, what are you?" I didn't know how to answer him. I didn't even know what he was asking me. I stammered for a minute, and then finally I said, "I'm an American?" No, Jody, he exclaimed. "I mean, are you Italian? Are you Portuguese? Or are you Irish?" Because apparently those were the only three choices. I had only identified as Southern or Georgian up to that point in my life, and I didn't know much about my heritage. My second answer to him was not much more helpful. "Uncle Manny, I guess I'm a mutt?" It made him laugh, and then he leaned in and reassured me by giving me the highest compliment that he could give. "You know, Jody, you could pass for Portuguese." Uncle Manny was asking me, "To what tribe do you belong?" Tribe is important in Bristol, Rhode Island, a town of 20,000 that has three Roman Catholic churches within two blocks of each other. There's St. Elizabeth's, the Portuguese church, St. Mary's, the Irish church, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which is the Italian church. And so I ask you now this morning, what are you? Think about it. How do you self-identify? Or how do others identify you? Next month, when we invite new members into this church, the first question we'll ask them in worship is, "Who are you?" The answer, first and foremost, is, "I am a child of God." And then they follow by saying, "And my name is Claire or Carolyn or Alan." Jeremiah 2, verse 4. "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." There is nothing wrong with proudly saying that you are Portuguese or Ghanaian, Irish, or a mutt. But what matters deeply, what we all should first say when we are asked to identify ourselves is, "I am a child of God." "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." That's me, that's you, that's all of us. Or in southern terms, that's me, that's y'all, and that's all of y'all. And all y'all are made in God's image. Genesis 1:27. "So God created humankind in God's image, male and female, God created them." And while my natural inclination is to separate me and my people or my tribe from other people that I don't know, it's not how God tells us to look at the world. God made humankind in God's own image. That's everyone. And when I separate myself, think of myself and my people as better than y'all, I disparage the image of God. God created us all. God calls us to love and respect all of God's creation, God's people, and God's good earth. And when we separate ourselves by tribe, by gender, by age, or nationality, or skin color, or any other differences, when we let those differences dictate how we live, what terms we have for living together, we begin worshiping something other than God. Jeremiah 2, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? This is not God using that classic breakup phrase, it's not you, it's me. This is not God even asking for an answer. This is a rhetorical question. There is no wrong in God that our ancestors found. God's tone is incredulous here. God is saying, why in the world don't you live as I've instructed? My instructions are for your own good. And here you are, going after worthless things and becoming worthless yourselves. Raise your hand if you have heard of something called the Tri-State Water Wars. Oh, yeah. This long-lasting, acrimonious lawsuit between Georgia and Alabama and Florida is only a decade short of reaching the biblical description of forever, 40 years. Water flows south from Georgia into Alabama and Florida. And our state maintains both Lake Lanier and Lake Altoona as reservoirs for thirsty Atlanta. In 1990, Alabama filed suit against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, saying Georgia was taking more than their fair share of water. In 2014, Florida piled on in saying that downstream pollution from Atlanta was destroying their oyster beds. There have been some exciting headlines from Supreme Court rulings and special master reports, and with each turn in the case, I find myself rooting for Georgia. That judge will rule in our favor. What is that? Setting aside all football rivalries, why would I root for the state of Georgia over the state of Alabama or Florida? Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, all. God is the God over all, not just the preferred tribe. All and all need water. Can you remember the last time you were thirsty? Really, really thirsty? Maybe it was on a long hike or before a surgical procedure or when you were finishing a really spicy meal. Maybe you recall waking up in the middle of the night just parched. When I was a kid, our family played tennis at a nearby public park. We would drill and play games all day long in the heat. And this was way back in the 70s when tennis ball cans were made of metal. After a zillion cross-court forehands, my sister and I, glowing, would run over to the drinking fountain and fill our tennis ball cans with cool water and drink deeply. There was nothing that mattered more than quenching our thirst. To this day, a metallic flavor in my mouth tastes like tennis and summer and family. There's a different kind of thirst that's prevalent on social media these days. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the term thirst trap. When a person posts a picture of themselves that invites comments, especially compliments, people accuse them of being thirsty, as in thirsty for attention. It seems that in 2019, just like thousands of years ago, being thirsty is a metaphor for really needing something. Well, what do water wars and public drinking fountains and Instagram photos have to do with God? Jeremiah 2, verse 13, God says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." We humans divide ourselves up into tribes and argue over a finite amount of water. We tell ourselves that if we build enough waterproof cisterns, we can take care of our own. We can store up what we will need for the future if we manage to keep the people not in our tribe, the y'alls, away from it. We foolishly claim that what we have belongs to us, as if all of creation is not a gift from God to all of humankind. We guard ourselves against getting thirsty. We go to war over ensuring our needs are met. People, hear the good news. Loving your neighbor quenches that thirst. Deep longing needs a good dose of water. Longing is thirst that can only be quenched through the fountain, the spring of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Plunge into the waters of baptism. They are overflowing. Drink deeply from the cup of salvation. Our sacraments say it all. Professor Sally A. Brown writes, "Baptism and the table of the Lord compresses Christ's saving story into an economy of words and eloquent action." The word ya'al in Hebrew means to confer or gain profit or benefit. So when we tear down what separates us from the rest of God's children, when we include all ya'al, we all gain profit and benefit. Patrick read Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so that some have entertained angels without knowing it." The table is open. It's not just for us. There is no reason y'all should stay away. Jesus presides at the head. And with Christ, there is no war over scarce resources. He invites all of y'all to tear down the barriers we've built to separate us, to greet one another despite our differences as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to break bread together. May it be so today and tomorrow and until our Lord comes again. Drink up, all of y'all. Amen.